This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station. Good morning and welcome to WSMI Sports Saturday. I'm Terry Toad, David Jenkins.
Hello.
Across the table from me, and Jennifer Graham producing our broadcast this morning. And here we are, less than 3 weeks away from Football Friday.
Is it hard to believe?
A lot of the high school sports teams that participate in fall sports will be opening practices officially on Monday.
So they would love to be opening practices this weekend with the weather that we're having right now. It's really nice out there.
I got up this morning, got out the door, and I'm going, wow, I probably should have had a jacket on.
I wore pants into work.
And I thought I should have probably wore pants.
Yeah.
And when I got out here, it was 50 degrees. Yeah. 50 degrees!
How about that?
I'm going, holy mackerel, is this August? But
how
you know,
that?
we every once in a while we'll get one of those, a couple of those days early in August, and then all of a sudden, reality hits, you know.
Yeah. As soon as football practice and all the other practices start, it'll be up to the 90s again.
Yeah. That's part of it. That's part of the deal. So, by the way, we hope to catch up with Pat Rentz, the Litchfield Athletic Director, coming up about 9:30 or so this morning. And in the meantime, we were going to touch on a couple of things, but I know, first off, one thing we are going to talk about with Pat Rentz, a little bit about the Litchfield Sports Boosters and how active they are. And of course, a lot of the area high schools have their various sports boosters that get together and have the golf tournaments and support the athletic endeavors. And Litchfield, I think, is coming up here in the next, a week from tomorrow?
A week from tomorrow, August 13th at the Country Club in Litchfield.
And okay, so I know, and then I think, oh, I know there's a couple more coming up here, and so we'll talk about those as they get closer. So, Dave, you've got a couple reminders, though.
I do. There, if you're in the
kind of public service time here on Sports Saturday.
If you're in the Staunton area today, there's a rib cook-off going on. Serving doesn't start till 3 p.m., but I understand the cooking is going on all day.
Uh-huh.
Dinners will be served around 3 p.m. That's at Concordia Hall in Staunton. Okay. So if you're in the mood for a rib dinner, visit Concordia Hall in Staunton. And then if somebody, this is more of a public service announcement. If somebody has found $200 at Old Settlers,
bring it to us.
Yeah, bring it to us, or please call 313-4805. It was specifically, it was a $100 bill wrapped around $250s.
Okay.
A gentleman lost it. So,
or take it to the police department.
Take it to police.
Chances are that's not going to be found.
Right. I do have his number. If you bring it here, we can get it to him. So he's hoping to find his money. That's a large amount of money to lose.
Well, that's, you know,
any amount of money you lose is unfortunate, but $200 is quite substantial.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. So there we go. All right, we've got those public service announcements out of the way, and I don't know. We're closing in on the beginning of the school season, and it's hard to believe that we're under 3 weeks away from Football Friday, and of course, other teams will be competing, I think, next week.
Right.
I think some golf teams can actually start next week.
Yeah, Football Friday, I think, is the 25th of August, and the actual, like, other sports competitions, aren't they like the week of the 14th or something like that, or is it?
Yeah, 14th, so. Some are, and some are the week of the 21st, so.
Yeah.
But I think there are some golf matches next week. The last half of the week. So, it's here.
It is.
And time to giddy up and go, and hope that the summer has been enjoyable for the student athletes. And
I'm still not sure a lot of the teachers are ready to go back. That's generally a lot of teachers I know that they're not ready for their vacation to end.
Jennifer Graham's shaking her head going, I'm not ready to go back.
Unfortunately, you have to.
Well, that's the job. It's all part of it. So
seems like their vacation gets smaller and smaller too, because school gets out later.
Well, and the financial situation in Illinois certainly doesn't make running a school district any easier. It's there's an old saying: there's two things you don't want to see, how sausage is made and how laws are made.
That's right.
So,
well, and obviously
and,
they,
you know, there's a reason for that.
Right.
So.
They passed the budget, which was one stepping stone, yeah. but now that was reliant yeah. on a new school funding reform. And
you know, and a lot, fortunately, some of the schools around here, such as Litchfield, you know, they have boosters that to help them out. Some school districts don't though.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, keeping their doors open is a whole nother ball of wax. I mean, it's
right.
just it's
well,
a critical situation.
That's something that's interesting because we obviously in the news we've touched on this
yeah.
about how some schools will may, if the funding reform isn't passed or whatever, may not be able to keep their doors open for a certain amount of time
mm-hmm.
or they're not able to open at all. If they're able to open, are they able to have sports? I mean, are the sports seasons going to be delayed at all if they're able to open? Or I don't know how.
Well, if the schools open and then have to close down.
Yeah.
You know, if there's no school in session, you don't.
Right. Yeah, I know that, but if they're, like, say a school only has a certain amount of days, like, where they can open because of the financial situation.
Oh, I see. Say 3 months of operation.
Right.
Funds.
Would they still start having sports?
I would assume they would. Yeah.
Okay.
And hope that something would be worked out, but, you know. That's above our pay grade.
Right.
I had an interesting comment though this week, Dave, and we bring this up just every once in a while, not very often, but just every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And the comment was how it's very common for us, it's not unusual for us to think in terms of high school sports, where interscholastic sports are part of the curriculum, not only of high school, but even junior high. And it's seen as part of an educational part of the educational process.
Right.
And the comment that was given to me was was the fact that perhaps it should be a club type situation, which, you know, presents its own set of challenges, presents its own set of I don't know what you want to say, problems or whatever,
right.
but
pretty much have the boosters take it over entirely.
Well, you know, that's one thought. And you know, I personally like it under the banner of
yeah.
interscholastics, to be honest with you, only because of the functionality of, you know, checking grades every week and that sort
right.
of stuff. It's a club, truly a club team.
Yeah.
I don't know where you'd have that sort of thing to do.
I see, I'll put it this way, I see the merits on both sides.
Oh, sure. And you know, most countries around the world
mm-hmm.
for youth activities – and this is in America, especially in the summertime, even in not in just the summertime, but
right.
in the non-traditional high school seasons of sports, there's a you know, millions of club teams
right.
For every sport. But you know, I kind of like the interscholastic aspect of it.
Right. Yeah. Well, and then you run into. What if, I mean, you like the schools benefiting from the sports,
yeah,
you know, the money
yeah.
that they're bringing in. If it's a separate entity and the sports start bringing in a lot of money and none of that's going to the school, then you're like, well, that's not, that doesn't look good.
Although, we should probably talk to Matt Trohar or somebody
yeah.
from the IHSA about this, but I think it is possible for a club team to, in Illinois anyway,
mm-hmm.
a club team to operate under the banner of a school
yeah.
and be subject to the school's
okay.
policies.
So it would be like,
but it would still be strictly a club team.
Perhaps
and,
like
and, you know, and maybe there are some basic, with the help of some sports boosters, maybe it is kind of
right.
that way in some of the schools. So.
Perhaps like lacrosse, because that's not, in Illinois, that's not a huge sport because it's not
it's
played
growing,
everywhere. But
it's growing rapidly.
Right.
That's probably the next up and coming thing. Yeah.
Well, because it's safer than some of the contact sports or collision sports, if you want to say
so. I don't know about that.
Well, there's not immediate head trauma involved, I wouldn't
think. And at least you have a helmet on
right.
and stuff. So, I, you know, that's – but besides that, you know, so there are other options, obviously, to keep sports alive. And that's not the primary function, obviously. I think it's a whole package deal. For schools,
right?
Because let's be brutally honest. There are sometimes I think it's a great incentive for kids to be involved in extracurricular activities.
Yeah.
It's a great incentive to stay in school.
It
know,
is
to be a part of the scholastic thing.
There are, I mean, some don't like to admit it, but there are some kids who are only going to school to play, sports.
And if you can use that to keep them in school and, you know, try to get them an education, that's right. Certainly a positive. There are pluses and minuses to everything.
There are, basically.
But I personally like the way that schools in Illinois are running the sports programs through the high school.
I don't see any major flaws right now that need repair.
And the guys and gals that are involved in club teams, whether it be volleyball, soccer, you know, whatever, JFL is a club type thing. You know, these folks put their time in and they do their fundraising. They do everything they can to keep these programs alive and well. And a tip of the hat to them. But that helps feed. Helps feed the high school sports, the junior high and high school sports.
I kind of wish we would see more club sports about the non-major sports around here, just because, you know.
Give kids a chance to play something other than just.
Right, other than like soccer or basketball, baseball, football, because those are the major team sports or track and field.
Are you looking at some lacrosse, Dave?
Perhaps. Yeah. I mean, it's not.
We'd have facilities around here, I would think.
Yeah. I mean, it's not well known. You could educate people about it. Mm-hmm. And this would be more difficult, but I personally would like hockey. Mm-hmm. I say it's more difficult because A, the elements, and B, it's probably the safety thing as well, and then money.
Well, you know, rental for ice time.
Right. Yeah. So, perhaps, you know, school-affiliated swim teams. I think that would be interesting. Because they're like Montgomery County, I know, has a swim team for the summertime.
Sure.
I would like to see school-affiliated because, I mean, there's no shortage of pools in the area.
But then again, you are talking, and we're going to get to a break here in just a second. We are talking about small schools.
Right.
And
that's true.
You know, small schools with the limited student populations can only do so much, can only offer so much.
No, that's right.
Because you thin out things, and a lot of times, you know.
The school numbers are
pretty thin now.
Yeah, that's where it would pretty much have to be exclusively a club team, at least to start off, to find out how many people you had interested.
Sure.
And then, obviously, since there are no real teams in the immediate area, you'd have to travel to play any kind of competition. So,
take FC South Central Soccer. I mean, these guys are always on the road.
Right.
They may practice at the park in Raymond, but these guys are out of town every weekend playing in a tournament someplace.
I know specifically with hockey, I think the closest might be Edwardsville.
Yeah.
Other than that, you're probably looking way up north.
Yeah.
Swimming might be a little bit different, but field hockey, I can't
remember. Well, of course, Ryan Held was an Olympian.
Well, there you go,
So swimming is definitely in the area.
Right, yeah.
Whether it's in, you know, outside of a larger setting like Springfield, that would be, you know, I don't know that we'd have facilities around here.
I don't know that we have a lot of, surprisingly, we don't have
the Sharks, and
right.
they have
we don't have a lot of bass fishing.
Bass fishing lakes.
Right.
At Coffee.
Which doesn't make sense to me. Like, we don't have a lot of participants in school in bass fishing through the IHSA, but.
It's one of those things that kind of caught on with the IHSA and surprised a lot of people.
Well.
So. It usually is at Carlisle.
I think so.
And
I
think like two out of the last 3 years they've had to postpone it till way in the summertime because the lake levels were way high. And anyway. Whatever.
So. You're at the mercy of Mother Nature.
Mother Nature dictates so much of what happens. Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. Sports Saturday on this fifth day of August. We're going to take a break. We'll come back with more in just a moment.
That's right.
Those are pretty darn good.
There's no shortage of good food out there, Paris.
No, absolutely not.
Pretty good.
Absolutely not. Well, we've got Cardinals baseball coming up this afternoon at 5:15 on WSMI AM 1540 FM 106.9. The Cardinals will be at Cincinnati. In the second game of that series, the Cardinals continue to struggle offensively, and this is something we've seen all year. Actually, we've seen the last 3 years.
Right. Tune into our station to listen to them, so you don't have to pay to go see them during their horrible run.
Yeah, you know they're not exactly an awful team.
They're
not very good.
Yeah, they're mediocre.
They're extremely mediocre. Yeah.
Well, and it's, I mean, I know I'm being the eternal optimist here, which is weird for me, but this is a down year, and they're still only 3 games under 500.
Yeah. Right.
So for a down year for the Cardinals is better than most teams.
You know, the Cubs are not running away with it like they did last year, which for two or three years there, the Central Division was the best division in baseball. Mm-hmm. Not the case necessarily this year, although the Cubs could be poised to make a run here.
I think the Cubs are still the most dangerous team in the National League. I don't believe in the Dodgers. I think they're peaking too soon. And I
wholeheartedly agree with you.
They have choked too many times for them to be real.
And it doesn't
mean,
and it won't have to be against the Cardinals to choke.
I mean, they
do generally struggle with the Cardinals, or at least
Clayton Kershaw is
has.
A completely different player in the playoffs than he is in the regular season.
And let's go back to when Greg Maddux was pitching. Mm-hmm. You know, even the strike zone's a little different in the playoffs. It's a little bit tighter. And, you know, you don't get those corners in Kershaw.
Well, if you look at a lot of Greg Maddux's later postseason starts in his career, his defense let him down.
Yeah.
Because he pitched pretty well, but his defense, I mean, a lot of those games he pitched just let him down.
But I, like you, think that the Dodgers are basically going to flame out.
Yeah.
Before they get to, now they're gonna, I think they're gonna be easily make the postseason. I mean, they're
45
games over 500.
It would be
now.
A colossal collapse.
Oh, yeah.
They're like 43-7 since July started.
Yeah, they're gonna have to lose virtually every game the rest of the way to be eliminated.
They're safe. They're in.
I think they're pretty much in. But will they be playing at optimum level going into the playoffs?
Well.
And sometimes baseball teams will rest people. And baseball is a game that lends itself to playing every day or most every day. And if you give extended rest to people, and it kind of gets them out of their rhythm.
It's hard to say, because the Royals a couple of years ago were in the same boat where they weren't running away with it like the Dodgers were, mm-hmm. but they were easily in because they ran away with their division. However, their September, they didn't have to do much.
Right.
They struggled against the Astros in the first round, and then found a way to beat the Astros and then make a run to win the World
Cardinals
Series.
Have barely made it with under the old wild card method, and you know, we end up winning the World Series. So it's whoever's hot. You just got to get in, and then whoever's hot.
What's going to play to the Cubs' advantage, and it's bizarre that it's the Cubs of all teams, is you've got the Dodgers, who are perennial chokers in the playoffs, that are going to get in, and the Nationals, who can't get out of the first round of the playoffs, who are going to get in.
You know,
so
the Nationals are the really head-scratching team of the National League to me. They, man, are they loaded.
Yeah. Well, ever since they got eliminated by the Cardinals, they haven't been able to get out of the first round.
Get over that hill. So I don't know, but they
that six-run lead they blew in that game five against the Cardinals. It's like they never recovered.
Yeah, they have the offense. They certainly have the pitching.
Yeah,
my gosh,
they've got the best, probably on paper, the best rotation in the National League, one through five. Their bullpen, they did address it at the deadline, so that we'll see if it's any better. I don't know. I don't know. We'll see.
You know,
they're kind of another one of those teams that's different come playoff time.
To me, this year, the baseball races, with the exception of maybe the National League West and the American League Central, where the Astros are going crazy.
West. AL West.
The two Western divisions. That's right. Houston's in the West now. You know, all the other divisions, though, their races, I mean, this could be literally down to the last day of the season.
Could be.
Yeah.
Which is
good for Major League Baseball.
It is. Well, what's really interesting is you just had the Minnesota Twins, who were basically leading this AL Central the entire season, just become sellers at the deadline because the Indians and Royals both went on 9-game win streaks, and the Twins struggled. So they decided, hey, it's probably better that we sell off. They traded for Jaime Garcia, the Twins did, and then traded him like a week later to the Yankees.
The Yankees, yeah.
So
pitched his first game, I think, yesterday, didn't he?
I think so, yeah.
For the Yankees, so. And they lost. So.
Yeah. That's an interesting ballpark for him to pitch in, because it's so small.
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of the American League ballparks are a little more suitable to, for hitting.
They are, but that one, it seems like, was built smaller than anyone else. Because you had all these new ballparks at the time being built for the steroid era, being built huge, and then they built Yankee Stadium really small.
Well, according to the dimensions of the old ballpark.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so.
I feel like it's small. At least right field is smaller than.
Well, right field was always close.
Yeah.
It was a short porch. Even at old Yankee Stadium, it was a short porch.
Yeah.
So. But anyway, the Major League Baseball race will continue.
It will.
And
we'll see. The Cardinals have struggled against their own division. 18-28, I think, now is the record against the NL Central. They have a winning record against the Pirates. And that's it. They have a losing record against every other team. They're 3-8 against the Reds this year, a team that they've dominated historically.
Yeah. Yeah.
They've dominated the Brewers historically, and they can't beat them this year. They've won one series out of, like, five.
Boy, the Brewers were Jekyll and Hyde, weren't they?
That's the frustrating thing, know, is they, because the Brewers have been on this cold streak, and then the Cardinals roll into town, and the Brewers don't score, but neither do the Cardinals.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, the Cardinals can't find offense.
And earlier in the year, the Brewers were scoring, what, 9 runs a game, it seemed like.
Right.
And, their pitching was not necessarily that good, but they were outscoring people.
Right. I a lot of people there were some who were frustrated at the Cardinals for not doing anything at the deadline. I was mixed on that because I could understand, they didn't find a deal they wanted, and obviously the offensive players they wanted to go out and get were not made available.
Sure.
So, They weren't trying to make moves for this year. They were trying to make moves for this year and the future.
Right.
And there were no moves that made sense for them. So Mozeliak basically came out and said, well, we're going to find out what kind of team we have the rest of this year and what we have to work with.
And to nobody's surprise, they didn't do anything.
Right.
And because they are going to find out what...
And right now it's showing that your team's just not very good. You don't have a lot to work with.
Well, we all kind of figured that Jed Jerko wasn't really a cleanup hitter,
I mean, Jed Jerko has had a great season,
yeah.
But when he is here, and you and I had this conversation off the air yesterday, when Jed Jerko and Tommy Pham, who have been fantastic this year, when they are your best players, your team is not very good.
Yeah.
It's just the way it is.
The league has caught up to Jerko, and
right.
Tommy Pham is getting his opportunity, but, he's been in... So injury prone over the years.
Right.
And
Jerko should have been a guy they were dangling out to trade.
Right.
I mean, because his value was high at the time.
Yeah.
He's not a part of your future.
Right.
I mean, so why not see what you can get for him?
I don't know. That's a good question. It's at 9:30 WSMI's Sports Saturday on this fifth day of August, and joining us on the telephone right now is Mr. Pat Rentz, the athletic director at Litchfield High School. Pat, good morning, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are we?
Well, we are doing well. It's good to have you on the program, and my goodness gracious, Pat, where did the summertime go?
It's gone. School year's about here, and IHSA practices or seasons start this week, so... Time to start out the 17-18 school year.
You've had a year now under your belt as the athletic director.
And you still have hair.
How has it been for you?
My frequent response to that question is it's been a very humbling learning experience that I have enjoyed. You kind of learn the ropes as a coach of a particular sport, and you feel like you're starting to get your feet settled underneath you, and then... switching gears, now you're trying to look at all the sports and the ins and outs of how the seasons work and the rules and, tournaments that they have. And so it's been good. It's been an exciting learning experience to get in there and try to figure out, all the different questions. So,
Pat, most people have a general idea of what AD does, the scheduling and the looking for officials and that sort of thing. But really, you do have to be kind of the liaison with the school, the student athletes, and the IHSA and the bylaws and all that kind of stuff. They, if something changes, they have to be aware of it.
Yeah, absolutely. There's rules passed and even things, we don't necessarily hear these things until perhaps there's an issue, or I should say the public may not hear of these things till there's an actual issue, but even things like residency when you have a new student move in. There are certain things you've got to do just to make sure that student athlete is cleared to participate through IHSA. And there's all kinds of rule changes, even looking at golf this year, they've moved the start of golf season up to Monday, where in the past it was on Wednesday, and so you just kind of got to stay on top of, what are we doing? Are we in compliance? There's a lot of details that go into it for sure.
And when they do move the seasons, a couple of 3 days, of course, you haven't scheduled anything for those days because you've been operating on the old schedule of the past, and all of a sudden now you've got some dates that have opened up and you're probably scrambling saying, hey, can we get another match or two in here?
Sure. And in this case, it was, it was practice. I mean, if they, if they tell you, hey, you can start practice this year on Monday rather than Wednesday, you know, by all means, you want to take advantage of that, but you also want to make sure you've got your ducks in a row and that you're not just going off of hearsay. So, you know, and matches can start on Thursday. So by all means, you want to start practicing on Monday before Thursday's match rather than Wednesday and Thursday's match. So, you know, there's just a lot of decisions like that that you try to stay ahead of so that you can put your clubs and your student athletes in a better position to be successful.
I know when we talked to you around this time last year, around the start of the football season, you really missed coaching. I imagine you still miss coaching, but is it a little bit easier a year removed?
No, I think it's probably harder because because now I feel further away from it.
Okay.
If that makes any sense.
Yeah.
You know, so going into last year, it was really tough on a personal level because I knew the kids. You know, I knew them intimately through coaching all summer and weight room and all those things. But at the same time, that was kind of nice because I didn't really feel like I was out of the loop, so to speak. You know, I could just jump right in there and talk to the guys again and, you know, kind of try to encourage them, hey, how we feeling for this week, you know, things like that. But now I think 12 months later, as you start to cycle a graduating class out and a new class in, you know, now I'm feeling a different sort of challenge, which is I'm seeing how difficult it's going to be to try to reestablish those relationships with those kids without having the experience of coaching them.
Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah. We're talking with Pat Rance, who is the athletic director at Litchfield High School, entering his second year as AD. And, Pat, I know one thing we wanted to touch on a little bit is the Litchfield Sports Boosters. They have a golf outing coming up a week from tomorrow. And, you know, just brag a little bit on the Boosters and what they do for the program.
Oh, yeah, they do a lot. And, you know, it's a lot of behind-the-scenes work. Running fundraisers, and as you mentioned, this Panther Open that they run is one of the big fundraisers they have throughout the year. And of course, a lot of the, you know, all these funds that they raise really come back to Litchfield Sports in one fashion or another, whether it is uniforms, equipment needs. Sometimes they'll purchase, you know, bigger items for the program, even smaller items every year. They're kind of locked in that they pay for. For instance, all of our patches and numerals and pins and letters that we order, all of that Sports Boosters pays for every year. And then even our plaques, whether it's Team MVP or Hardest Worker, Most Improved, Sports Boosters pitches in for those plaques every year. So there's just countless ways financially that they support us. But then even just have a group of parents or former parents of athletes that say, hey, if you guys need help, maybe it's a concession night, maybe it's a tournament that they can come in and work and you know, be a game worker or whatever, it might help with hospitality room. You know, it's just invaluable to have a group of people that say, hey, we're here to help. If it means raising some money, we'll do that. If it means stepping in and working, we'll do that.
Like a lot of other schools, Litchfield has great support for, you know, their football games, their basketball tournaments they run. It's obvious when you show up, and there's always people there to help. And you know, so kudos to the Sports Boosters. Pat, if somebody would like to get into this golf outing, can they contact you, or can you put them in touch with somebody from the Sports Boosters?
Absolutely. Both would work.
Okay.
You know, I've got the order form that they can fill out, and I can also pass them along to Sports Boosters member. And I will say, you know, put my plug in here that we're kind of running out of spot for teams, which is a good problem to have. You know, I reckon if we had too many teams, maybe we'd have to look at running a separate flight or something, and that would always be a good problem to have too. But I know that they've had a lot of teams sign up for the Panther Open this year, so if you're interested in getting the team together, you may want to do that sooner than later.
You know, Pat, one thing that just kind of popped into my mind here is the fact that I heard somebody make a comment that, you know, schools oftentimes seem to buy new uniforms frequently. And the person I was talking to thought that was kind of odd, that the frequency they buy uniforms. And I, And I pointed out, I said, well, just think of your own kids when they were growing up, how they wore out clothes. And I mean, you know, you use a set of uniforms a couple, 3 years, they're worn out.
No doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt. And it's, you know, I would tend to agree to some, in some aspects of, do we get new uniforms probably more often than we absolutely have to? Yes. But I don't know that that's a horrible thing. I mean, and you also have a difference of, is the sport outside or is it played inside?
Right.
You know, so then you've got issues of, do your white jerseys look white anymore or do they look yellow? You know, or is your purple fading to where now it's not looking so purplish anymore? Yeah. You know, so you have all those issues and like you said, general wear and tear of uniforms.
And on occasion, Pat, there are rule changes concerning, and I know we ran across this a few years ago with the basketball uniforms about the placement of the numbers and the letters and stuff like
absolutely.
That and goofy things that are kind of, you know, kind of like, why are we worrying about this? But they
absolutely,
do.
Absolutely, yeah. You get new rules about the piping on the side, you know, has to be a certain color or has to match the other color, you know. Yeah, you get all kinds of rules. You know, another aspect that most people don't necessarily see, you know, they may look out and see that the uniforms look nice, but all it takes is, you know, two or three or your fourth set, that uniform set that is ruined, to where now you're stuck between do we order a full new set or do we pay top dollar to only replace four, you know, and then do you have a mixed match set, you know, so it kind of gets to a point where you're better off just starting fresh, ordering new, getting the cheapest price because you're ordering bulk rather than trying to replace single sets.
And you're not only talking uniforms, you're talking the warm-ups, you're talking some of the socks and, you know, the other appropriate accoutrements that go along with the actual uniform itself.
Yep. Hey, let's be honest. The kids like cool gear, right?
So sure.
There's also the aspect of, you know, rolling out those new Chuck Taylors has a good feel to it.
Boy,
Dave, you don't wear the Chuck Taylors anymore?
No, I outgrew them.
Okay.
Yeah,
I think I finally pitched the last pair I had from, you know, decades and decades ago. I said, why in the heck am I holding on these stupid days?
I do still have some in my closet. Boy, are they beat.
Are you? Oh my gosh! I don't think I'd even mow in them anymore.
Yeah.
So Patrick, as we get ready to head into the school season, I guess you know, football, and we can just get your take on it. You know, football is really the big draw as far as you know, crowds and everything for fall sports in particular, and what residents need to realize is that a lot of these schools depend on what football brings in to help support the other sports.
You know, that is an excellent point. And, you know, just from the athletic department side of it, you know, there are sports in the spring that we don't even charge admission for. And yet, of course, we're sending teams out, so we have transportation costs, we have equipment costs, we have entry fee costs, we have coaching salary costs. You know, you just stack all those up, and yet we're not bringing money in, you know, and I didn't even throw out, you know, officials, of course.
Right.
So you're absolutely right. A sport like football that brings in, you know, consistent attendance, consistent gate, you know, that really helps support some of those, I don't want to say smaller programs, but programs that aren't as sustainable, self-sustaining in terms of budget. Yeah, those are big, you know, and in the winter, you know, you could lump basketball into that same sort of category that brings in a consistent revenue for the athletic department so that we can then offer a wide variety of sports for our student athletes.
Can you tell us a little bit about the new coach you hired and Tom Priddle and what your relationship has been like with him?
Yeah, so Tom's a Litchfield guy. Well, actually, Montgomery County guy, grew up in Hillsboro, so he's been in the area for quite a while. Many know Coach Priddle through his work through the JFL. I know it's somewhere around 14 years, I believe, that he spent in the JFL program. So obviously there's a commitment to Litchfield football and a commitment to the kids. You know, you volunteer 14 years at the JFL level. I think that speaks to your motivation for being there. You know, you just love the game and love coaching the kids.
We know you're not going to get rich.
No. I mean, yeah, you're not doing it so that you get accepted into the JFL Hall of Fame as a career coach, you know. I mean, you're doing it for the love of the game. And Coach Priddle helped me when I was coaching. So even though he was truly coaching JFL, he was still there for the varsity team. Hey, what can I do? Can I watch this? You want me to get my eyes on that? Can I help with huddles? Can I help with stats on game night? You know, always willing to jump in and help. And that's kind of where the relationship started off, was from that football standpoint of helping out with the high school. So we finally got him up into the high school last year and was in the high school program, did a fantastic job. And again, same sort of attitude of willingness to jump to it and learn and work. And so here he is now, head football coach. And, he's getting after it and learning, how much there is to tackle as the head coach. And yet he's positive and he's there every day working. And, I've seen him all summer up at school with the kids at practice or in his office playing in for practices and for the season and meeting with coaches. So they're getting after it and they're excited. So
what about the staff that he surrounded himself with? Because I know last year with a new coach, it pretty much brought an entire new coaching staff. This year, I would imagine that it's going to be the same. Are there more, Litchfield names on the staff this year?
Yeah, you've got some others on staff. One that was still a carryover, Justin Ripley. Of course, he's a teacher in our district, mm-hmm. has been coaching for several years now. He was on staff before I became head football coach. So he's still on staff. And we've got some volunteer coaches, obviously, that are in helping. We've got Austin Sherfey, who was a new teacher last year, hired by the district. So he's on the football staff. And then you've got Jason Plummer, a local pastor, who is there as much as he can to help coach. And he was there the year before. So there's some similar faces or familiar faces. But as you said, there's also a different feel to it because it is a very different look to the coaching staff than it was last year.
Gotcha.
All right. Well, Pat, we're ready to go, and we'll have the Purple Panthers on the radio on opening night. So we're ready for football Friday.
Hey, I'm with you. I'm excited. Can't wait to get started. And it's always an exciting time of year to kind of turn the reins over to a new group of athletes and watch them make the memories and have the exciting, the ups and downs of competition. You know, some days it's a heartbreaker, and then other days it's celebration. So it's just a fun, exciting time that I think we're all anticipating.
And it teaches you a lot of life lessons, too. It does.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. That's, I heard you guys talking earlier about whether it would be school sports or club sports. And, of course, I'm incredibly biased on that. Yeah. But I think, man, when you're in schools and you're dealing with teachers and education, I love the fact that the expectation for our sports is that we are teaching character and we're teaching these kids something that they're going to take way beyond, the end of their season. And not to say that can't happen in club sports, but I love that in our arena, it's an expectation, not just we want to build a successful program that wins. For us, it's, we want to teach these kids. As you guys mentioned, it's whole child education. We want them to learn and grow and be challenged. I just think that bears fruit long, long after the seasons and their high school careers conclude. So
it's just that some classrooms are 120 yards long. That's all.
That's right. And, 105 degree weather.
There you go.
Yeah.
Pat Renzi, Athletic Director of Litchfield. Patrick, we're going to let you go, my friend. Thank you so much. We look forward to touching base with you throughout the year. And we are so excited that school's almost ready to open up, and we're ready to get high school sports going again. So thank you,
That's
sir.
That's right. Thanks, guys. It's always great talking to you.
Yeah. Pat Rance, one of the truly good guys around the area, and we certainly appreciate him coming on with us today and sharing some of his thoughts. And a lot of people who will badmouth sports. And it's not, they're not perfect. Trust me.
Right.
We know that. But, I think every survey ever been taken by like the National Federation of High Schools and such like that, the majority of kids in every high school are involved in some sort of interscholastic activity. So it's, you know, it's a very valuable piece of the educational process.
Yeah, those that badmouth it may take the negative from the professional sports and apply it to everything.
Yeah, don't do that because there are some really negative nillies out there on the professional. Even in the college level.
Yeah.
You know, college and professional. This is high school stuff. So.
Right.
Sports Saturday rolls on. We need to get to a break. We'll come back with more in just a moment. Don't forget, we've got Cardinals baseball coming up 5:15 this afternoon on AM 1540, FM 106.9. And then the Cardinals will wrap up the series in Cincinnati with an early start tomorrow, 11:15 with the pregame show. By the way, Fighting Illini Sports will be on WAOX again this year.
I was about to say, we'll have an Illini football game coming up soon.
Yeah, and the Illini will start early September, and they're going to have a couple of Friday night games this year in September. And, you know...
Of course they are.
Well, and, you know, to us who think Friday nights in the fall are all about high school football, you know, it's frustrating to see a major college get that Friday night game. But I heard some U of I people talking about why they did this, and they're trying to get some more exposure, get them away from Saturday where there's, you know, just...
Thousands of games,
and maybe get a little more exposure for Levy Smith's program.
Well, they could do Thursday night because I mean there are a lot of Thursday night college football
games. And there was a question that was asked. They said, "Well, what do the area high schools think about this?" And and quite frankly, they said, "Well, some of them were not very pleased with it, but you know they tried to convince them that this would be a good." Thing for the whole, for football as a whole. So
you know what they ought to do? These Champaign area high schools, what they ought to do, what U of I ought to do is say if they're going to play, if U of I is
going
to play on Friday night,
I know where
you're
going with this.
They ought to say, you can play on our field on Saturday.
On Saturday, that's right. That's right.
That ought to be the deal.
That's right. And have maybe have a double header or a triple header. Have all the schools, you know, play starting at noon and 4 and at 7, you know, you have all the high schools there. And you don't charge them an arm and a leg.
Right.
You know, you let them use the facility.
So. Have that St. Joe Ogden, Tolono Unity.
I think that sort of reciprocation would be wonderful.
It would be.
And that's why it'll never happen.
And, you know, you temporarily anger those high school coaches and administrators, but then you say, hey, you can have this in return and maybe warm up to it.
You know, and of course, what the Illini give up is the fact that a lot of high school kids might show up at a game on Saturday.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's necessarily true, but I suppose that that is a situation there. But they felt that with the exposure that they get on Friday nights, kind of away from everybody else on Saturday, will certainly help their recruiting. So
give the teams tickets to the games on Friday night, too.
Yeah, and I think they've got night games on the 8th and 22nd of September. So,
wonder who they're playing.
I don't remember.
Cupcake, or if it's anyone of significance.
With them, it'll be they're always of significance.
Well, and this will be an interesting year for them because Lovey's finally got some of his recruits.
Yeah.
This was the first year he was able to recruit. Right. So,
it's a whole new look for the Illini, you know, major sports programs.
It is.
For football and basketball. Again, with football, you know, that's a pretty big ship that you got to turn around, so it's going to take some time.
Yeah.
But getting your own recruits in there, that's a key part of the
They just announced that, I know we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves, but the bragging rights game for basketball is on the 23rd of December.
2 days before Christmas,
It's usually on a Wednesday, and that's not a Wednesday, 23rd, I don't believe. I don't think that's a
Wednesday. That's a Saturday.
Yeah, because Christmas is what? It's a Monday this year, I believe. So it would be, it would be a Saturday. I think so. You have to correct me on that if I'm wrong.
23rd is a Saturday, So that place will be
How about that?
Packed,
Probably back to a national TV primetime game.
I'm going to suspect with the fact that there's coaches, new coaches on both schools. Yeah.
There was some animosity that happened in the off season between the two programs with recruiting. And
really?
So that'll. That's a story.
But you know, that's a great storyline.
It is.
And that sells tickets.
Absolutely, it does.
That sells tickets.
The turnout for that game last year was terrible.
It was awful.
It's going to be much better than it was for this one.
And let's be honest, Dave. when the Bragging Rights game is big and hyped and the place is packed and it's on a national audience,
yeah,
that's a great, great tournament-like atmosphere.
It absolutely
for those,
is.
For those college athletes.
And it kind of is it's the unofficial signal to the end of non-conference play.
Yeah.
I mean, because right after that, you're going into conference play for everybody.
Directly into conference, yeah.
So.
In fact, it'll be, what, 5 days in the Illini will have their first conference game.
Right.
Yeah. So.
We'll see how they fare.
Anyway, the Illini will be all the Illini actions on WAOX 105.3 The Ox this year again. And, you know, we'll see how things shake out. So I don't think you can. What are the expectations for the football team?
I don't know how
honestly,
to manage the expectations for either team, honestly.
Yeah, I don't either.
Because the basketball is coming off. You would think the basketball is going to have a better chance at success, naturally, because they have a history there. But, I mean, they're kind of rebuilding their program from the ground up.
Yeah.
Football, you are obviously rebuilding, but you've been rebuilding for years, so you don't know what to expect there either.
You just rebuild the rebuild.
Yeah, right.
You know, that's basically what's happened over the years.
So I don't know what – you really have to have your expectations low going into this season for the Illini.
And, you know, and the more and back to this Friday night thing, to me, it's unfortunate that, you know, college tries to – invade the high school thing
the most prominent programs don't, you'll notice they don't play on Friday
they don't,
nights
they don't and if the Illini were a winning program they too would not be playing on Friday. They play maybe Saturday nights.
Right, you're either playing Saturday night, Saturday afternoon or Thursday night. You're not playing Friday night.
So I think that's what they figure that part of the process of getting the people they need in there is getting this exposure. So it does come up to be quite frustrating though when you think about it, that they take away from the high school thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, because, you know, they're like, how many, you know, thousands and thousands of kids are involved in high school athletics as compared to college?
Well, and why not, if you're wanting to do that, why not play a couple of your conference games on Friday night when the high school season's over? When the regular season is over, I should say.
Regular season. I don't know.
Because high school playoffs are on
Saturday
anyway.
Well, I can tell you why. I can tell you why.
Well,
it's all about scratch. Like Uncle Ralph used to say, M-O-N-E-Y.
That's right.
It's all about the money.
Well, and that's when the Illini are getting exposure. They're getting because of the team they're playing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they're playing at Memorial Stadium, of course. And you know, the teams will get money when they come visit Champaign. Yeah. So.
I don't know what the non-conference schedule looks like this year.
I looked at it probably 6 weeks ago.
Yeah.
They're
going to have one major opponent. I don't know who it is this year because they usually do schedule one team from a power conference. I don't know who it is this year.
So, but that'll be here soon enough as well.
It will be. Like I said, manage your expectations. Probably keep them low. That's a good idea.
That's probably a good idea. So, and Cardinals baseball again coming up this afternoon, 5:15 on AM 1540 FM 106.9. Dave, we got about a minute here. Looking into the future, what do you think the Cardinals are going to do offseason? What do they need to address? What's the number one thing they need to address in the offseason?
In my opinion, it's the lineup. You got to get an established bat that's locked up and who is not.
Somebody's going to crush the ball for you.
Right, and south of 30 years old or 32 years old. Because there were a lot of people wanting the Cardinals to trade for Josh Donaldson, but he's only signed for next year, and he's 31, and he's injury prone.
Yeah.
It's like, what are you realistically going to be expecting from this guy?
They're really realistically going to have to spend some money if they want a crusher there.
They had better, their best bet is to contact the Marlins about one of the three outfielders.
Yeah.
I mean, Stanton is going to be the guy everyone leans to.
But he's injury prone.
He is, but he's putting it together this year, and he's not hurt this year.
No.
And he's got 35 home runs, not yet.
Yeah.
But he's also never had the incentive to stay healthy.
But that is a huge contract.
It is. It's not as bad as it could be.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a bad contract. It's better than Joey Votto's contract. I'll put it that way.
Joey Votto is never going anywhere.
Plus,
he's stuck in Cincinnati.
Right. If Stanton opt out after 2020, which is it's a possibility, then it's an even better move if you trade for him because the worst of the money is after the opt-out.
Right.
So if you trade for him and you still have him for 3 years and he opts out, okay, you had him for 3 years, And you don't have to pay him the worst of his contract.
That's true.
So now, if they want to trade for Ozuna and Yelich, those are options as well.
That's going to do it for Sports Saturday on WSMI-FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville, your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois. For David Jenkins, I'm Terry Tote. Have a great sporting weekend.